tonight
on Red Eye.
Coming up on Red Eye. Have a small group of deranged men developed a brand new language only they can understand? And to what end? We report you run and hide. Plus, how many gallons of chocolate milk has Joe Biden consumed since Sunday morning? And what does the president think we should do about it?
He's going for a sixth this week. This is a problem. We need to fix it.
And finally, have tensions between puppies and ducks finally reached critical mass? You've been warned. The following show contains so much cuteness, it could melt your face. None of these stories on Red Eye tonight.
And now, let's welcome our guests. Well, she's shown a wheel of cheddar and just as popular at cocktail parties. I'm here tonight with Joanna Osuchinski. Yeah, what a wave. Well, his voice is deeper than those wells he pushes little kids into. It's comedian Sam Morril, or Morril, I forget. Well, he's got more brains than a delicious shake made from Mensa members. Recent TV and Recent.com writer and producer Anthony Fisher. Anyway, his initials are M&M, and you can bet your butt he melts in your mouth. Sitting right next to me, Daily Beast columnist Michael Moynihan. Nice.
Sorry,
hair.
Sorry, that's horrible.
A-Block, the lead. That's the first story.
It's troubling. His hair bothers me. Jeez. All right, now, before we get to the first story, which is a good one, Robin Williams, we just found out, passed away. He was 63 years old. Cause is yet to be determined, so we won't conjecture upon that. I want to go to you first, Sam, because you are the comedian here and quite a talented one. Did Robin Williams have much of an impact on you?
Yeah, every comic who met him has a great story. He was just super nice, talked to him for like 30 minutes or so, and he was just, you know, very warm and like not what you see. So
yeah.
Not what you see in the movies where he's like off the wall and stuff, but he's like very down to earth and chill. And,
so you're telling me people are actually different than the characters they play?
Apparently. Yes. I don't know.
I had no idea. No, Neil Hamburger, who's a frequent guest on Red Eye, said that, you know, he has... But he must have like 20 minutes of Robin Williams jokes where he just eviscerates Robin Williams over everything in Robin Williams' life. And after a show, Robin Williams came up to him and told him that he was a huge fan. and Hamburger felt like a complete a-hole.
Oh, wow.
But it's a great story. I don't have any good stories, Michael.
Yeah, I don't either.
But I believe that Robin Williams' great humor offset your tragic hair.
No, I know. I actually asked them for a sort of, you know, mid-30s German look today. Yeah.
What was there any favorite movies or...
Jumanji's a movie. I've never seen that. No, you know what he was really good on? Was an episode of Louie, where he played a very serious character, and they went to a funeral,
yeah.
And they both realized they hated the guy.
That's
it was
right.
That was the Robin Williams' best television or film moment.
Because, you know what, he's actually... It might be a better dramatic actor than he was comedic. I mean, he was a great comedian, but as a comedic actor...
Yeah.
I think he was more interesting, Anthony, as a... like an insomnia... was it 1 hour photo? And then what was the one, Father of the Year, which is just a bizarre film, but good.
Yeah, I mean, we've been talking about that. I missed that. It sounds like a freaked out movie, and it'll probably go to the top of my queue. But Dead Poets Society, The World According to Garp, mm-hmm. Good Will Hunting, like, you know, for however earnest and maybe even obnoxious some of his later, you know, St. Robin movies were,
right.
He did do some really inspired dramatic work.
Mm-hmm. Joanne, you know who we're talking about, right?
Yeah, no, some of my favorite movies from my childhood, Mrs. Doubtfire, Hook, Patch Adams.
Robin Williams is great. I'm sorry. I won't. I know I can't be smart, but not Patch Adams. No. I can't affirm.
I saw it a while ago. I'd have to
That's
see
in
it
the
again.
St. Robin's canon.
But, yeah. Last year, Mrs. Doubtfire was the most played movie on cable television.
Right.
And every time you like flip a channel, it's bound to be on one
right.
night, and I will always watch it when it's on. So. We're probably going to be, you know, seeing more of those reruns, and
yeah.
I'm happy to because I love it's feel good movies.
Yeah, you know, I grew up on Mork and Mindy. That was when he first starred in as a character in Happy Days. He like showed up in Happy
yeah.
Days. This is when I guess Happy Days was on its way out. They used the phrase "jump the shark"
exactly.
because of Happy Days jumping the shark. But maybe it was Robin Williams showing up. But Robin Williams was amazing.
Yeah.
He played Mork, and Fonzie was teaching him how to
live, how to love.
No, how to date women.
Oh, how to
That's
date women.
That's what it was.
Too.
It was how to pick up a girl.
Yeah.
And then he was so good, they created Mork and Mindy. But the amazing thing about Robin Williams is that he was a first of his kind that was that
like just completely improvisational and crazy, yeah. except for maybe Jonathan Winters.
That was his mentor.
Yeah.
Was,
yeah. yeah.
Was, that was the best years of Morgan Mindy.
Yeah. Check out his interview on Mark Maron's podcast. It's a great interview
yeah.
with Robin Williams.
And Live at the Met might be the single greatest 80s cocaine-addled comedy stand-up film.
Yeah. Yeah, next to Richard Pryor's Sunset Strip, which might, is that
that's,
80s?
That's early maybe 80s, like, you're right. Yeah. Was that the red suit, Aaron?
Yeah, it's red suit.
No, 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 wait. Eddie Murphy was the one with the red suit.
He had a purple suit.
Wait, he had a purple suit?
Yeah, I was wrong.
Pryor wore the red suit.
Yeah, Pryor had the red suit, but yeah. Eddie Murphy had the full-on leather suit.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yes.
Dangerous. Yeah.
While making unusual commentaries about gays.
Usual.
They were unusual.
Unusual.
They were
unusually hateful.
Yes, exactly.
That's what they were.
But he was doing it while wearing total leather. I don't know. Anyway, RIP. ESPN is at it again. The sports empire has suspended another host for commenting about the Ray Rice controversy. And by suspended, I don't mean over a bed in a leather harness, which is how I spent last weekend with Mr. Dobbs.
You too.
Yes. He gets around, Dobbs. Last Monday, Sports Nation, whatever that is, a host there, Max Kellerman, appeared on an ESPN radio show and recounted a college party he and his then-girlfriend, now wife, attended. He claims both were very drunk and that she slapped him. In turn, he slapped her right back. The two have been married now for 20 years. I don't know what that says about slapping. The New York Daily News reports the suspension was for Kellerman, quote, for not adhering to ESPN brass warning concerning the Rice topic being a highly sensitive one, meaning don't talk about that. ESPN says he will return to work on Thursday. This is the third suspension for an ESPN host in 2 weeks. On Monday, the network introduced his replacement. That's like, that's this generation's Mum and Chance. Remember Mum and Chance?
Yeah.
I'm old. Mum and Chance.
I do. I remember them.
Ah, yeah. Shut up.
Yeah.
Don't just. Sam.
Yeah.
All right. Are we on a path of this self-censorship where now no one will say anything because they fear losing their jobs? Or is this just like you're not supposed to talk about this because you're not supposed to talk about it?
It's so lame. ESPN is just can be such pushovers here. You can't even. He's not saying it's right. He's saying he did it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
The only thing that's like grosser about this is that I had to watch this Ray Rice video.
Yeah.
You know, where he like, because I have to form an opinion on it for shows like this.
Yes.
So I'm watching him drag his passed out wife out of an elevator. And then I have to watch a freaking clip, like a commercial before I can even watch that.
Yeah.
So someone's making money off the fact that this dude beat his wife.
That's a good point.
Very good point.
There has to be contracts made where it's like, you know, I want you to sell my protein bar, but not when it's linked to a woman who's unconscious.
It should be an Everlast boxing glove
yeah.
ad.
I like the fact that you actually admitted preparing for the show. quite nice. Anthony, when we limit the kind of conversation we can have, we also limit the kind of solutions we can have. Wow.
Oh, huh? Wow.
Yeah, thank you.
I see what you did there.
Yeah, I did. Nothing. If, really?
If we don't talk about NFL stars beating their wives unconscious and getting ridiculously low suspensions,
yes.
we are doomed to repeat this cycle.
I agree with that point.
I mean, I think ESPN may actually be trying to make their hosts miss more work than Ray Rice.
Yeah. What do you make of this, Michael?
I don't know.
No,
really not. I mean, no, it's like MSNBC over there. It's like everyone's getting suspended every day. Mm-hmm. I know there was a guy that beat some woman up and got like 2 days off for it. Why can't you talk about this?
Yeah.
Why is it? That's the first thing that I'm confused. And the other point is you know, it is the point is that he wasn't saying like, you know what, I have like a really hilarious story.
Yeah.
20 years ago, I slapped a woman in the face. He was like, no, you know, this is not good. You know, now we are married for 20 years, so it does work in some level. But he was saying that, and he wasn't, I mean, come on, this is crazy. And your point is the right one. It's like, you can't, I don't know what I can say anymore.
Yeah, but you know what it is?
It's arrested.
It's almost like a virus. Okay, so this thing
you shouldn't slap women, by the way.
Yeah, I know,
that's bad.
But see, you're trying to stop the virus. Because, like, this thing happens on one show, and then somebody else says, okay, this person that happens on one show gets suspended, and then another show talks about it, and he goes, you know, that wasn't so bad. He gets suspended. And then Red Eye's like, hey, I don't know why that's happening, and it's Michael Moynihan.
Am I going to get suspended?
Yeah, you'll be suspended. What do you do now?
I don't do anything.
It's hard to get suspended from sitting on a couch masturbating. Joanne, are we becoming too sensitive to words?
A little bit. But, I mean, in this situation, he really should have watched his mouth. Mm-hmm. I mean, they just did two, like, quick trigger suspensions for things that people said or did, possibly a little irrationally or quick to do these things. So he should have been more mindful. And really, I mean, ESPN, I think, is really watching out for the female viewer. Mm. I think that they know it's a growing market, and they really don't want anyone to say anything that's going to offend the female viewer because they want to hold on to them.
Mm, that's an interesting point.
Interesting point.
I don't watch.
Yes.
So I don't really care what they say, but for the people who do, they might.
ESPN's handling this like they're a battered wife right now. You know, they're like, nothing happened, can't talk. Yeah. We need an 11th hour of Johnny football coverage. We can't talk about anything real.
Yeah. There has to be a list now of things. Race, gender, orientation, and I don't know what else is after.
Soon sports is going to be out.
Yes, exactly. I'd like to apologize for saying the 49ers played poorly. They were probably doing their best. All right. He wants more bark in the park. The mayor of West Hollywood. Is that the most awesome job ever? You don't get up before noon, and it's all mimosas. All right. The mayor of West Hollywood, California, is upset at renovation plans to its main park, saying the new design focuses too much on kids and not enough on dogs. John D'Amico argues that having three play areas for brats and no dog run is, quote, institutionalized fetishization of kids, or what parents used to call caring. But in fact, children may be outnumbered by furry friends. One-third of West Hollywood's population are not bears. But anyway, identifies as LGBT, and the LA Times reports there are only 1,100 kids under the age of 14. Meanwhile, in Turkey, they found a way to keep kids out of public parks.
Ne başladı? Görüyorsunuz. Gözleri yanıyor. Kafası sağa ve sola dönüyor. Etraftaki canlıları kontrol ediyor. Elindeki tabancayı görüyorsunuz. Sesler çıkıyor.
You know what that is? God. That was designed to scare off bears or the hands have shocks on them. So they would put it out there and it'd be like this, and a bear comes at it, it would get electrocuted.
I thought it was a rabbi. Yeah. It's in Turkey and it's got like a car alarm, like, oh my God, here comes a Semite.
See, I thought it was
run the other way.
I thought it was an activist trying to sneak a terrorist across the border in an interesting stunt. All right, that joke went nowhere. And it should have gone nowhere because nobody knows what I'm talking about. Anthony, should kids have more play areas than dogs? Do you have kids?
I do. I have two. I used to live in Chelsea, which is the West Hollywood of Manhattan.
Yeah, yeah.
And
by the way, I want to clarify, kids as in children.
As in
not
children,
little
not goats. Yes, yes.
Because like in New York, it could be, oh, I have pigs. They're just these. Well, I have kids. They're pigs.
Yes, if I was a bigger fan of Mumford & Sons, I'd have chickens, goats, all kinds of stuff in my Brooklyn backyard. But as it stands, I live in Queens now. I used to live in Chelsea, and I have two kids, and we were not popular in the Chelsea neighborhood. Mm-hmm. Dogs were.
Dogs.
But, I was sneered at. You know, there was a lot of microaggression. And I can say is I can understand that. I feel like people live with people that they want to. They mm-hmm. self-ghettoize. Mm-hmm. All I'll say is for the child-hating populace at large, you know, if you don't want to have playgrounds and you just want to have dog runs, then please forsake the Social Security benefits that my children will be paying for in your future.
Oh, that is the point, because dogs don't pay taxes, do they? Yet. Perhaps they should. I don't know, Michael. You have a child and a dog, or what I like to call a chog. Mm-hmm. I guess you think that makes you some kind of expert.
I'm sort of still hung up on this whole dog taxes idea, which I think is great. I don't know how it's going
to
work.
No. If you buy a dog, the owner has to pay an extra tax because somebody has to pick up that poop.
It's like Sharia.
It's Sharia for Shaggy.
I think maybe the important point here, beyond the fact that this whole story is ridiculous, is that there's a $3 million grand staircase that is going to be built.
Why do you do air quotes? It's real.
It says, I don't know, what is the grand part?
It's like a grand staircase.
It's like a Busby Berkeley film.
Do you live in a hut?
$3 million for the staircase.
Right.
I think this might be the bigger issue here is that the city of West Hollywood is two rooftop swimming pools. Have you ever been to West Hollywood? Heads and like people that are leaning over, they look like they have scoliosis, but they have tons of heroin in their system.
Really?
And they're like, West Hollywood's horrifying. I haven't been there. It's lovely, but there's a lot of drug.
I've been on Santa Monica Boulevard just driving to the hardware store.
Yeah.
And that's what they call the bar.
Yeah, I've been to the hardware store.
Yeah. What? But I've never seen
disgusting
like.
Disgusting place.
You're describing it as like meth hell. I've never.
Well, there's if you go a couple blocks up towards the hills, there's a. I mean, I think that maybe.
It's coming from you.
Yeah.
Look at you.
What's that? about the drugs?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't hang on the street. Look at my apartment. Leave me alone.
Sam, why don't they. Can they make an area where both kids and dogs can play?
I guess. I don't know. Probably not. It's West Hollywood. Also, no one ever had a dog by accident. That's a big thing, right?
That's true.
One ever was like raising a dog with some chick he thought was going to be a one night stand. It turned out kind of be religious or something, you know? Yeah, people love their dogs because you know what it is? It's less responsibility. Your dog's kind of old. You can just put it down.
Right.
Right. You can't just put a kid down at 11.
No,
you know?
You can't. You can't.
No one's like, you know what?
Unless it's their bedtime.
Well, that's true.
Put it.
No one's going to be like, you know what? 77's pretty old and doggy.
Yes, that's a good point. And rather a dark one, I might add. Joanne, are we going to be seeing the rise of a new war between breeders of humans and lovers of pets? That's what it seems to sound like.
Yeah, and I won't be in that war at all.
Yes.
I'll be neutral because I don't want either.
Yeah, that's it.
And this whole topic I don't really get. I do think I want to live in a world where these people can play together.
Right.
Why would we want to separate them? That's awful.
Mm-hmm.
I think that the mayor is biased because he has two dogs and no children.
That's true.
So that's a selfish decision on his part. But I mean, the solution is simple. There are three areas for the children to play.
Mm-hmm.
Turn one into a dog area.
Yeah.
Right? It's not that hard.
Or really hairy children.
Mm. Ooh,
so they're in a way like dogs.
The ones who never learn to walk.
Exactly. It's easy to make fun of parents, but they're the ones making the kids. So if they stop making kids, they're kind of like you have to depend on the parents to keep everything going.
This is the thing.
What you were saying.
What he says, like the institutionalized fetishization.
Yeah, the word fetishization is a fairly
hateful one. Get out of the university.
Yeah. I was expecting a very different article.
Yeah.
I was like, I'm definitely against that.
So
Allen Ginsberg article. Look that up.
We understand.
Okay.
But no, you're right. It's like here's somebody who probably has little foot pads for its dog when it's raining, probably does buys the best kind of food that he cooks for the dog. And so when he sees a parent with her child doing roughly the same thing, that's weird.
But there's a thing in New York, you've probably come across this, Anthony, the only one who has kids here, is like people get obsessed with hating like baby strollers. Like, I won't go to Park Slope,
it's
all baby strollers. And you try to go to a restaurant and somebody has a baby in it, and you go on a plane and there's a baby crying. Like, get over it.
I know.
I don't understand this big deal.
I do it to myself.
Headphones.
I see a baby in an airplane, and I go, oh, God. Then I go, what am I talking about? It's like, I'm a leech.
Yeah. You're paying like $2.
That person's going to work for
you.
Me.
You get annoyed at the lack of parenting a lot of the time.
That's true.
If a baby's just crying and the parent's like, there, you're fine. But if the parent's just letting it go off, you're like, well, do something.
Yeah, exactly.
You brought it into the world.
Letting it go off.
Letting it go off like a car alarm that you won't turn off. There's got to be a button. Come on, stop it, crying baby.
Pump the brake.
Traffic sets it off a lot of times. All right, are we done here? I can't remember if we are. All right, coming up. Can I do anything wrong? Not according to all current scientific research, which says I'm awesome. But first, a poll on drugs. Get ready to smoke it. What does that mean? Hey, I shouldn't even say that. Okay. Are we winning the war on drugs? The nation shrugs. According to a new poll, my favorite words in the Oxford English Dictionary, a meager 3% of Americans believe we are winning the war on drugs, while 84% believe we are losing. That's a lot. And 13% are undecided, probably because they're too high to notice. The war on drugs was popularized in the 1970s under Nixon, president, and continued strongly under Reagan, another president, with the Just Say No campaign, both two states legalizing marijuana and many more decriminalizing the substance. Is it time for a new tactic? For more, let's go live to an expert. You could probably start on any American soccer team. I wouldn't know. Michael, you're for legalization, I believe. Yeah. Would any consequence, say, in the next few years, ever change your mind?
No.
No.
Absolutely not.
So, but are you, will, what, do you foresee anything, perhaps? Because I'm for legalization, but I don't believe it's going to be a smooth road.
Well, I mean, it's not a smooth road now. I mean, I went outside, this is true, I went outside my office today, and I bought a ton of drugs, and I did them all day, but I'm totally fine now, so that disproves your point.
Yes.
No, like, I see people keeling over all the time on drugs. I can't imagine it's going to be much worse, and it's a total fallacy that if something's legal, people start doing it. Mm-hmm. I mean, cigarettes are legal, and nobody smokes anymore.
Right.
I go outside like I'm the only person looking for a lighter.
No, that's true.
And that's when I meet all the drug addicts, because they have lighters.
And it's actually harder these days to get cigarettes than pot.
It's much harder. It's much harder and less expensive to get pot.
You can get pot. Just walk outside and look for the smell.
I got it from somebody in the building here.
Yeah.
That's not true.
Dobbs. I told Dobbs he's got to come back.
I didn't tell you who it was, Lou Dobbs.
He's got to pay for that beach house. Sam, we have a lot of legal drugs, alcohol, caffeine, nicotine. Should all drugs be treated the same, or is it like our culture is only able to handle like one or two? It's like we can only handle booze. You can't throw in pot because now it'll be overloaded. That's a theory.
I mean, just hearing the war on drugs sounds stupid to me. It's a phone interview. who's answering the phone for that? Real drug addicts aren't picking up the phone.
That's
not
true.
Even for their family.
It's a landline.
It's I don't know. The war on drugs. I wake up with caffeine. I socialize with alcohol, and I go to sleep with Ambien. It doesn't feel like we're losing. It sounds like we're benefiting.
I agree completely. We've demonized drugs and substances that actually could have been helpful in dealing with illnesses and other things. Anthony, by not acknowledging the fact that some of these people are silly, like I'm tired of drugs being in brownies and suckers. That to me makes it hard for the older folks to understand it. Do you know what I mean?
Not really.
Well, I guess what I'm saying is, you know, there'll be certain older talk show hosts that go, look at these idiots. They're licking suckers and they're eating brownies. Because you don't do that with booze. Is that a good impression?
Well, you do, but they ban it.
You're referring to Maureen Dowd, I'm sure, right?
Yes.
The whole idea that there should have been a warning label with capital letters that she shouldn't have eaten the whole brownie. Yeah. Because, of course, a bottle of vodka has a warning label that says, don't drink me all at once, you moron. And, what's impressive about this poll is that the margin of error is exactly the amount of people who say that the war on drugs is working.
that's amazing. So that means it could be all zero. See,
literally, it could be zero. And yet, it could be zero. That's the new math.
Yeah.
And there's no uprising in the streets over this. Like something that's pretty much universally agreed upon that is just not only a failure but is violent and horrible and really a waste of money. Mm-hmm. Could be zero.
Yeah, Joanne, the drugs definitely won the war on you, but has it won the country?
Not yet. Here's the thing. We need something to take the place of the drugs in order to win. Mm. And I think it should be love.
Oh, that's beautiful.
No, but really, if you love yourself, you don't need to numb all that's going on inside.
Really?
No, but really, though, I am concerned about the money that's being spent. Apparently, just under a third of Americans from this poll think that we're spending too much money to fight the illegal drug use. Mm-hmm. And 29% think not enough has been spent. I think that there's more than enough has been spent, and especially to incarcerate all these drug users. Mm-hmm. So I don't know that 29% who thinks we need to spend more, they just have a lot of money, I guess.
Yeah.
Give it away? I don't know.
And by the way, I don't trust the numbers on abuse. Like, you know what I mean? There's so many people.
Six drinks a week is binge drinking, according to the CDC.
I've been binge drinking today. That's true.
It's true.
It's ridiculous.
But there was they came out with some thing about marijuana. Do you know that it's upwards of like, I think could be up to 9% addictive? And I go, well, that means 91% are not addicted to it. That's actually amazing, because I can tell you right now, chocolate is 100% addictive. Yeah. Am I right, Joanne?
Sugar is.
Yes.
Oh, really?
Yeah. You know,
I mean, the war on drugs, I mean, it was mentioned, Nixon was mentioned in the lead in there. It's like, you know, it's a pretty inauspicious start to the war on drugs when Nixon is deputizing Elvis Presley, who actually showed up at the White House with, like, OxyContin, like, falling out of his mouth before it was even invented.
That's amazing.
He was like, you know, you're the deputy of this boy. And it's like, this is not going to work.
Yeah.
It's from the very beginning.
I don't think there's a better single photo that encapsulates the cynic's dream than Elvis being deputized by Nixon. Fat Elvis.
Can you, okay, too, yeah. Just to combat one argument before I go, the when people, I will always say, you know, no one's died from an overdose of marijuana. Like, I've tried to search for that. I can't find anything.
I've died of boredom from hanging out with potheads, but I've never died of an overdose.
That's true. But the thing is, are there consequences for marijuana that people jumping out of windows? Are we seeing that more?
There have been some, like, health issues.
Yeah.
But they say might have been triggered by it, but it was already a pre-existing condition is sort of like, what I've gathered. But
All right.
I mean, we don't have third-generation Kennedy congressmen driving down Pennsylvania Avenue tripping on marijuana.
That's
it's
true.
It's usually prescription
That's
drugs.
True. Now, is he against drugs?
Oh, yeah, violently. He is Project against, Sam.
Yeah, yeah. That's why I was trying to figure it out. Isn't this the same guy?
That's that guy.
That guy. All right. I thought maybe there was another Kennedy that slipped through. All right. They're everywhere.
They're everywhere.
Kennedys. There's one hosting a show on FBN, but that's a good Kennedy.
That's a good Kennedy.
Yes. All right. Coming up. Back hair, a bullied follicle, or a tool of the devil? Probably neither. But first, a word from our sponsor.
Tonight's sponsor is the Coffee Sun. You drink coffee multiple times just to get through the day, and someday your kids will too. So why not start them off early with an adult coffee in a kid-friendly pouch? Warning, contents and container are dangerously hot, and the straw stabbing method of opening is poor planning on our part, as it will lead to third-degree burns. Thanks, Coffee Sun.
No longer groom or doom. Yes, as Special reported earlier tonight, men are turning their back on shaving their back. I had no idea they got there first. It's the subject of tonight's
Red Eye Debate 2014, live from the Red Eye Debate Center.
Welcome to the Red Eye Debate, live from Knoxville, Tennessee. I'm your host, Greg Gutfeld. We got a lot of protesters out there today, a lot of hairy men upset that this we might potentially offend them, but we're not. So just relax and wait in the car. Last year, GQ declared erroneously, in my opinion, back hair is never sexy. Now it seems the tide is turning as stars like Seth Rogen and also Seth Rogen. You need two. That's what I've learned. Are bucking the back waxing trend in favor of the fur-covered look. Last week, a writer at Slate, and that's all you need, penned a defense of back hair. I read it twice while my intern braided my back. Bottom line, back hair is back. But as a writer at New York Magazine points out, whatever you decide to do or not to do with your body hair, someone will be into it. Tell me about it, sister.
Smart take.
Yeah, it is a smart take. Very smart. I start my morning off with Slate and New York Magazine. I just drink a little coffee. Mm-hmm. I don't really even know what I'm saying at this point. Sean Connery, when he was that James Bond, hairier than a peach.
Lovely.
Yeah, fuzzy, hairy thing.
Yeah.
Looked great. Now, what's his name? John Craig.
Rick Craig.
Daniel Craig.
Yep.
He's smoother than one of those hairless cats.
He is very smooth.
That's gross.
So that was the question.
Yes.
It's more of a statement.
It was a rambling opinion.
Yeah, I think that I took a few things away from this story, and I think one of the first ones is that there's too much content on the internet. It's like these people have to, you know, shovel coal into the engine. They're like, what do we talk about? Let's talk about fake trends.
That's a great
idea. Fake trends have gone through the roof because of the damn internet. But there's no back hair, this, that, or the other trend. Some people have hairy backs and some people I don't have a hairy back, so if I took my shirt off right now, which I will, just hang on, you would see it and it was smooth. And it's not like I don't wax it. Like, what is going on?
I don't know.
What is this country coming to?
I don't know. You started out so perceptive.
I know, and then I just lost
you.
You were talking about my own back.
Now, when you think about the internet, those every writer at Slate and Salon and all these places are like people shoveling, and they got to come up with stuff.
They got to keep it going.
That's where they get all the microaggression stories out. It's like, I watched a movie and this offended me, and it was like, you know, Robin Hood because he wore tights and he was a male and they didn't say he was actually Q.
You need to talk about and people get angry at an episode of a television show and they write 1,000 words on it. Or back hair.
I wouldn't know about that. All right, Joanne, I want to go to you because you are a female. Explain to us why or why not you find back hair sexy or gross. And prepare for the letters.
You know, I like a little bit of hair.
Yeah.
I think that a man should have more hair than me, though. So that whole, like, I shave my legs and my arms thing, that's a little too much.
Yes.
But I think that someone who grooms, it shows that they care about themselves. Mm. And if you have too much hair, I wonder what you're hiding. Some back knee.
Uh-huh.
Some rolls of fat.
Yeah.
Which is,
I don't know.
Some people kind of, I like the big hairy
but
roles.
But there is someone for everyone. That is true. It may not be for me, but you don't want to be with me anyway.
That's so true. I'm around her all the time. It's not a pretty sight. Constantly weeping and cutting herself.
No,
I mean making fun. Wants you to be hairless? Would you do it, or do you want to be accepted?
My ex hated my. She hated back hair.
Really?
I didn't care that she had it, but she hated it. no, I mean, yeah, it's gross. She was furious. Yeah, I'm hairy as hell. Like, yeah. Look, this is disgusting. I'm not proud of it. You know, I have these awful genes.
It's not like you're a murderer, Sam. You just have to have
not
to be
yet,
your suit.
Because I hate cleaning, so I gotta work. But look, you know, no, my ex, hey, she was like, I have a gay friend named Alex. And she's like, he shaved for his boyfriend. I was like, okay, I guess gay fights and straight fights are different. I don't know what this is. Like, I'd love to use him in my arguments. Love to be like, honey, Alex's boyfriend lets him take it in the butt. So maybe you should be more open-minded. And she was like, yeah, he also takes it in the butt. And that's when I was like, yeah, I forgot that part. That's a good part.
And it's the part you don't want to forget. Anthony, will body hair see a full comeback? I've seen a lot of hipster, you have a normal beard. Mm-hmm. I'm really getting tired of the hipster giant beard. Mm. You're seeing in stupid t-shirt ads on websites. There's a guy with a giant lumberjack beard. I hate that. No one is even understanding what I'm talking
about.
Or
like in a tuxedo.
Yeah,
or like in J. Crew, like
yeah, but he's got a giant, yeah, he's got
a huge beard.
That troubles
that's
me.
Like the, I always see that. Yeah, they're preppy, but then they look like Walt Whitman up top.
Exactly.
Also, like the Civil War reenactment yeah. look. That's like the cover of like an album by the Band in 1970.
Yeah, yeah,
very,
yes.
very big again. I mean, I'm a live and let live kind of person, and I feel like, you know, also, you know, small libertarian, and I feel like the market speaks. You know, I think that Andrew Sullivan loves, you know, his hairy gay men, and if you are a straight male who your hairy back is preventing you from succeeding in the open market, then adjust accordingly.
Yeah.
Or
go to Andrew Sullivan's house.
Go to Andrew Sullivan's house. I mean, like, there's a place for everyone. Turn, right?
Yeah, yeah.
I worry that Slate is trying to bring down the waxing industry.
Big wax, you mean?
Yep.
Big wax.
Actually, that is true in the fake, back to the fake stories. There was a story that I saw about the not shaving for women trend.
Right.
That it was like, I don't know. I mean, I don't see this stuff, so I don't know if that's true.
I don't hate myself enough to do that.
But yeah, you have to support it, though.
You know who's to blame.
If you don't support, like, a woman's... You're a misogynist now or something.
Well,
you know?
I mean, this all like came from, and this is, you can prove this, the metrics prove, goes back to Gwyneth. It all goes back to Gwyneth.
Really?
Yeah. Paltrow.
I think it's, yeah. It's
Paltrow. Amazing.
That's the next Coldplay
album,
actually.
That's what I call her. Paltrow.
Gwynny?
Yeah, Gwynny. We don't talk much anymore. When she's upset with Chris, she calls me, and then when they get back together, I don't hear from her. I'm so used to that, Gwynny. So used to it. All right, time to take a break. We come back. The Kennedy Center gets a new name. But will it smell as sweet? I don't get that. I honestly do not get that. Did I miss that joke somehow?
I didn't get it either.
All right, good, because I don't get it. Oh, you're back at me now. Not cool. Order at Amazon.com. Autographed copy, GGutfeld.com. Buy it now, please. It was named after a Kennedy. Now it's named... after a Kenyan.
Oh.
Yes. A New Jersey town is renaming its Kennedy Center after Barack Hussein Obama, our president. It's the subject of tonight's. The deputy mayor of Willingboro, a heavily black town, came up with the idea, recalling the excitement over Obama in 2008. He noted, I think that people have a sense of pride about him. And everyone in town agrees, wrote one passionate Facebook user. That's all you need for a story. The only place his name should appear is in textbooks, stating he was the worst president in our history. My mistake. Once again, we brought in a studio audience panel. Thank you all for being here. Well, there they are. Before we begin, by a show of hands, how many of you enjoyed the hummus I brought in? Go straight to the thighs, kids. Sam, President Obama still has 2 years left. Yeah. Couldn't he screw up royally between now and then? And then they'll have to change it back to Kennedy.
I mean, this is the change I voted for. That's yes. All. Yeah, they could change it back, but this is the right combo. Obama and Kennedy,
yes.
You know, this is one left us too soon and the other one's sticking around too long.
There you go.
But yeah, they couldn't have done this 6 years ago when we were all still really excited about Obama. They're like waiting on now and they're like,
I have to say I admire them for being patient.
Yeah.
Because I think in the first week, there were like 30 schools named after President Obama. But they waited 6 years, which I say, Anthony, good for them.
But they did give him a Nobel Prize the first week, right?
Yeah, that's true. That's true. So that cancels out everything. What do you make of this? Are they canonizing President Obama too early? Or do you not? He's the first black president.
Yeah,
why
I mean,
not?
Everything is going to be named after him eventually,
yes.
All right? Like, hopefully he lives a long and healthy life as a mediocre ex-president. But he will, everything is going to be named after him. It's a very big deal that Barack Hussein Obama was elected the 44th president.
If he doesn't get a candy bar, then...
then it's all for nothing.
What's the point?
What would it be?
Let's
see. Zagnut.
Good bar.
Not as good as the marathon. Last time I mentioned the marathon bar, somebody sent me 20 of them. I just thought I'd say it again for the heck of it.
So if you just mention stuff on the show, people send you it?
Not that kind of stuff, Michael.
Oh, sorry. You know what I like? Drugs.
Yeah, you can't do that because it won't get through security. I found out the hard way. Is Kennedy just not memorable enough, Michael?
Yeah, he was like, nobody remembers that guy.
Yeah.
What happened to him?
I don't know. A
couple of terms?
I don't know.
I mean, come on. No, this is like, as Anthony said, it's like this is like the premature president. Everyone's like patting themselves on the back for having voted for him and like how great we are as a country. And, you know, the preemptive Nobel Peace Prize after like nothing had happened in this. You know, it's a building and, you know, fine if they want to do it. I went to a university where the library was named after a Stalinist, somebody who wrote one of the most florid obituaries for Joe Stalin when he died in 1953. So the standards for actually getting a building named after you are pretty. It's a state. University of Massachusetts Amherst Library is the W.E.B. Du Bois Library.
Really?
Du Bois was one hell of a Stalinist.
I had no idea.
It doesn't disqualify you.
Don't you hate people that are like more up on history than you are? Because like now I'm going to repeat that later and pretend
that
it was
from me. Do you know who W.E.B. Du Bois is?
I do. He was a labor unionist? No?
No.
That's Du Bois. Yeah. W.E.B.
That's all right. You can look it
up. Was he the fat guy with the cigar that didn't like kids?
Yeah.
That was W.C. Fields.
And then we had a building named after Fatty Arbuckle.
And Edward G. Robinson was the gym, right?
Yes. There you go, Fatty Arbuckle.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, Joanne, shouldn't there be a compromise or maybe no compromise?
No.
I don't even remember what I'm talking about.
I don't want to compromise. Here's the thing. Doing this is like getting the name of your lover tattooed on you.
Yes.
They're going to leave you. They are going to disappoint you.
Yeah.
And then you'll be jilted and regretful.
What was the name, Joanne?
Yeah. I don't actually remember. No, so this building, though, is on John F. Kennedy Drive, so they're not changing the name of the street.
Mm-hmm.
But then that's just, like, that's conflicting.
But maybe it's a compromise. You have an Obama on a Kennedy. I mean, you know, all that's missing is...
I'm not good with change. I don't want it.
All right, there you go. And your opinion trumps the people living there.
Yeah.
Of course.
I am from Jersey, though.
Yeah, that is close enough. Would you like to get your name on anything?
Would I? Or
yes.
Like, would I allow it? Or would somebody ask for that?
I don't know.
Because neither of those are going to happen.
Joanne Thigh, right there.
How romantic was that?
Oh,
I want my name on this
Sharpie.
Studio.
You want my name on that?
Yeah, this studio is mine.
I want my name on a ball pit at McDonald's. Can I do that? Can I, like, you know how hospitals have a wing? I want a wing of McDonald's. I want it to be the ball pit.
You just say you want your name, kids.
No, I just like ball pits.
Okay.
This is the Greg Gutfeld. This is the historical Greg Gutfeld ball pit.
Mm-hmm.
And I pay for it.
Mm-hmm.
See, that's the whole point, is you have to pay for it in order to... never mind. Coming up, a really old eel dies. It was bound to happen. Got videos of animals. FoxNews.com/RedEye. Send them to me personally. Or not. Don't have to.
E-Block. Last story. That's the last story.
He's in the ocean, in the sky. The world's oldest eel died last week at the age of 155 years. Ale, I can't believe that's his name, as he was called, lived in a well in Sweden and was beloved in that country. Born in 1859, he lived 148 years longer than most eels are expected to live. Al witnessed a lot during his time here on Earth. Take a look. So, wow, that was pretty touching. Sam, Eel lived that long, but never really saw any of those things.
No.
Would you rather live to be 40 as a human or 140 as an eel?
I'm going to go with human.
Yeah, really?
Yes. He lived in a well, so which is also, like, they said they found him. They were having a party, and he was like, check out this eel I got.
Yeah.
And, that sounds like a pretty cool party.
Exactly. And apparently he had died because he was boiled in the hot fluid of the well. Michael, would you ever wish to live as long as the eel did?
That's a great question.
Thank you very much.
Yes, yes, I do. And I'm going to be really pedantic here and say that the eel's name was Ola.
I figured it was.
Okay,
close.
And not ale, because Ol is eel in Swedish. And Ola is actually a Swedish name. So it's a bit of a funny joke people in Sweden.
I'm an idiot.
Are we still online?
Yeah, we're on. I don't know. Somebody fell over back there. Somebody very offended by it. Anthony, thoughts about the ale?
I know Sweden is the world's socialist paradise, but clearly they appear to have a lot of emptiness in their lives. This is a national tragedy. But yeah. I mean, I do love animals. And there was a woman who used to walk around with a 100-year-old sea turtle in Hell's Kitchen. And if I ever stopped seeing her, I'd probably be bummed out too.
Yeah, that's true. Well, that was quite compassionate, Joanne. Does Sweden hold the secret to a longer life if their eels live to be 145?
Apparently. Mm-hmm. I'm going to continue to eat my eel avocado rolls. And hopefully eat all the alcohol that I put into my system.
Or perhaps, the thing is, the eel could have been alive precisely because it was, drunk all the time.
How did it only boil now?
I don't know. Do you think that maybe this is not a real story?
I think this is maybe a fake story. It's like everything that comes out of Sweden, it's phony.
Wow.
But Sweden needs a good story right now. They need an eel.
They do.
Isn't it crawfish season?
It is.
Yes, it is.
Yeah. They're all broken up over this eel.
Yeah, they are. They are.
It's a different type of fish.
I don't know. Well, when you're number one, when your flag is IKEA.
Yeah, it is an IKEA. It's IKEA flag.
And just like in an IKEA bookcase, the eel.
Yeah.
Ended up in three pieces.
I started and run by a former Nazi.
Why do you have to call him a Nazi?
Because he actually was one.
Oh, really?
Yeah, look it up.
All right, I will.
Your hair, too. So.
Okay.
I know. We were in the same organization.
Very special thanks to Joanne Osa-Moral. Why can't I remember that? Michael Moynihan. Me. That's me. Bye.